Okay, before our message, I have a little announcement here about the children. Aha, we always have to do. Okay, but that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. What an important subject. Might pray. A number of us went down to the village hall tonight and objected to, there's three items on the agenda, Village of Maquonago, about selling liquor in our village, and as though our village needs more liquor. Pray that somehow those men would have got a little bit of the fear of the Lord in them. I don't think any of them ever been in a Baptist church, so they probably never got anything like they got tonight. I wasn't able to be there for the whole time, but I think it does make a difference. As we think of this important subject, the fear of the Lord. Did you know that phrase, fear the Lord, is really used of true Christians? A true Christian is identified in the Bible as someone who fears God. Now, what does it imply if a person doesn't fear God? Now, of course, we live in a day of new evangelicalism, and God is just some emotional whatever. You know, do whatever you want. Charles Swindoll, Grace Awakening, fake grace, all of that stuff. But let's start off and turn to Psalm 66. The psalmist gives an invitation to the people of God. And it's always interesting how God uses titles and phrases to characterize the true people of God. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What a great statement. All ye that fear the Lord. Now, you know, the fear of the Lord is real. Sad thing is, I think we have to understand something. We are not born with the fear of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, and here's an exposition on the sin nature and how we are, all unsaved people are, and what the sin nature is like. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. Of course, we know the beginning of that. There is, as is written, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. That's us before we're saved. And that's sinners by birth. But verse 18, it continues of their description. It says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, a child is not born with the fear of God. We had a few kids. I've watched them, and I've watched, a 14-month-old squat his mama's hand. Ooh. I've seen little children defiantly just do what they want. 2 years old, little pipsqueak, you know. And they just, you tell them something, they know what you told them. They do what they just totally ignore it. Can you believe that? No fear. Anyway, that's almost ridiculous. There's this little pipsqueak, you know, telling the giant, you know, I can do what I want. No. But that's how we're born. And the fact is, we have to kind of check ourselves as well as adults. We have to check ourselves. Do I have the fear of God? Or do I really have the fear of God? Do I consider doing something wrong? Do I have a wrong thought and not be overcome with the fear of God? Don't I have that sense of the fear of God? Now, don't believe the lie of the new evangelicals, the fear of the Lord. Oh, that's just awe. No. That's not just awe. That's modern twisted theology. Let me show you a couple of verses in the Bible that show you that it's not just awe. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. You know where I'm going? Okay. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God. They were willing. They were willing to pollute the church with their sin. They were willing to live as they wanted and pretend to be good Christians, and yet on the inside they had their own agenda. They wanted praise of men, but not the praise of God. The Bible tells us that Ananias and Sapphira were confronted by the apostles about their lie to the church that they had pretended like they sold this property and gave the whole thing to church. Man, what great Christians. Well, they gave part of it to the church, but they lied. They said they gave the whole thing. And of course, chapter 5, the Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of all of the price, his wife also being privy to it, mean a secret, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Ananias and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not of thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. That means he died. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Now, is that just awe of God? No. That's the fear of God. God judged a man who did wrong. He died. Wouldn't that make you shake in your boots? It ought to make you shake in your boots. That's the fear of God. And you know, wherever there's been revival, real revival is accompanied by, yes, the fear of God. Jonathan Edwards, in his great revival, people held on to the pews. They thought for sure they were going to fall into hell fire. They were afraid of the consequences of their sin. They were in the fear of God. And you read any account of true revival, sinners fell under such great conviction of sin that they feared God. They feared immediate judgment. They feared being tossed into hell. And the fires of hell, it was real. That's really the fear of God. And, you know, when we say things like that, you probably are saying, well, man, I haven't seen much of that. God didn't die. God didn't die. Maybe it just shows us how far Christianity has gotten away from God. The real thing. The real thing. God didn't change. And so, of course, we know Anna, his wife, came and they said to her, now, Sapphira, is that true? Is that true? Well, man, she didn't want to betray her husband, did she? I mean, if she told Peter the truth, she didn't know her husband was dead. She didn't want to betray her husband, you know, and so she thought she better, you know, she better lie so, you know, wouldn't get him in trouble, right? So what'd she do? She dropped over dead too, right there. And the Bible says there in verse 11, but great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So not only were the people, the believers, had the fear of the Lord, but all that were outside around heard, and they feared the Lord as well. You know, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the key, one of the great keys of the Christian life. Did you know that? Now, they say that's just an Old Testament doctrine, but you know, that's not. It's a New Testament doctrine. Philippians chapter 2. And the context is verse talking about the kenosis, how Christ, being equal with God, made himself a servant, that great message Peter, Philip preached on last week, verse 11. And it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wherefore? Because everyone is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it didn't say work for your salvation. It says work out your salvation. Work out what you got in you with fear and trembling. And you know, let's just come to reality. You know what? We aren't born with the fear of God. And the fact is, oftentimes, we don't have much fear of God. In fact, many times we don't even think like that. We just go on with our life. And New Testament doctrine, of course, Hebrews chapter 12. Notice this, Hebrews chapter 12. New Testament doctrine, the fear of the Lord. Verse 28, it says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Yeah. How do you serve God in a way that he would accept our service? If we want our service to be accepted to God, it says what? We have to serve him with what? Reverence and godly fear. I stopped to witness to this young man at Walmart one day, and he said, I go to such and such a church. And I said, oh boy, that they got a pretty big rock band there. And he said, I really like it, you know. And I says, well, I got a question to ask you. I says, does that atmosphere put much of the fear of the Lord in you? He says, oh, no, not at all. I said, what does the Bible say? And I quoted him that verse. Well, he got stopped right in his tracks. Right there. Yeah. Wow. We're to serve him with reverence and godly fear. You know, we come to church. We need to get in the right spirit, right? We do something for God. We need to be in the right spirit. This is this is a big subject, okay? Deuteronomy. Okay, well, so many verses there about the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:29. And do you read the Deuteronomy? One of the key words is fear the Lord. We haven't made announcements about this, but we're going to be having a great Bible Institute for 18 weeks starting in January. And it's going to be a survey of the Bible. We're going to have eight different teachers. They're going to take each different section of the Bible. And some of them don't know about it yet, but they... And I'm just looking at Luke. He just figured it out. He's one of them. And we're going to have a survey of the Bible. Okay. And there's some, and this would be a great series for you. And I thought, well, I won't tell you the whole thing, story behind it. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. This is just over and over in the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. What is he saying? The key issue of obeying God is having the fear of the Lord. Oh, I don't need to obey that. I don't need to do that. No big deal. Oh, really? Yeah. That's our problem. We don't have fear of the Lord. But you know, we need to have the fear of the Lord. But you know, the world needs the fear of the Lord too. The world needs the fear of the Lord. Psalm 9 and verse 20. This is prayer night, and one of the things that we need to pray that the fear of the Lord would come upon our community and our nation. But you know, how can we pray for the fear of the Lord to come on our nation if we don't have much of it ourselves? Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Isn't that well put? Psalm 9, verse 20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Nations of the world, they just think they're such big shots. You know, do what I want. We're great. You name it. And the Bible, the psalmist says, oh, God, that men would just know, have the fear of the Lord, that they would just know that they're but men. Just little tiny men. Wow. Psalm 33 and verse 8. When you're praying for revival, this is what you're praying for, folks. Psalm 33 verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now that is part of fear of the Lord. But it isn't this awe that doesn't have fear. It's real. Let all the nations, inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, trembling in his presence. Wow. Our world needs, that's what we need, that's what churches need. I can just think in my mind right now, coming to church and the congregation singing with great reverence, holy, holy, holy. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way church ought to be. Remember Dr. Hollywood saying that, in his church that every Sunday morning, not telling John to do that, but they did that and they meant it. Every Sunday morning they started the service with holy, holy, holy. Get out that hymn. Get out your hymn book and look at that hymn. Oh, there's some tremendous words there. You know, it's quite a picture here that we need to have in our mind and our soul. We need it for ourselves. Every one of us need it for ourselves. And it's a true revelation of the battle of sin and our humanness and our pride and our lukewarmness, lack of fear of the Lord. And yet we want souls to come to Christ. You know, Brother Simonson on Sunday was saying, oh man, we need genuine conversions. You know, it's hard for a missionary in a country, in a third world country, it's really hard for a missionary because if you're white, you have no idea why they're coming to church. I was in, this just illustrates, I went to the village pumper to witness to someone because I didn't get to witness to anybody that day. And I thought, well, I'll go, prayed about it and went there. And there was this guy, just walked in and I started a conversation with him. And he was talking about how he's working 12 hours a day and he's a young guy. And I says, what are you going to do with all your money? You know? And he says, well, I'm going to buy a house. And, And the guy says, are you married? No, he says, I'm going to get married later. And I said to him, well, man, how do you know if this girl's going to marry you for your money or for you? Well, that's like being a missionary, isn't it? How do you know if they're coming to church for Jesus or for you that you're white and you're from America? That's why it's so hard to have genuine conversions. And most of the churches are handout cities. You know, they work on the mentality that they get all this money from America and throw it away, give it away, give it away. Why are they there? You know, it's a free meal, more than that. You know, I always consider real Christianity is shown when people are willing to sacrifice and give everything they have to follow Jesus. That's when you know if it's real. Not if they're there to get something. If you're here to get something, you'll never get something unless, first of all, you're willing to give it all up for Jesus. Then you're on the right wavelength. And then you'll find the blessings of the Lord. But, you know, that's why there's, you know, but to have genuine conversions, it's not about money. It's about sin. It's about hell. It's about judgment. It's about being a rebel. It's about needing a new heart. Amen? That's what conversion is about. And so, the fear of the Lord. That ought to be our prayer. Just a couple thoughts here. Where do you get the fear of the Lord? Proverbs chapter 2 tells us that we're going to get the fear of the Lord from the Bible. And that's why... Every Christian ought to read the whole Old Testament every year. If you don't read the Old Testament, you aren't going to get the fear of the Lord. The Bible is the whole book, amen? And God makes it clear who He is in the Old Testament. But notice in Proverbs chapter 2, it says, verse 5, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then, what do you mean? Well, look at all the ifs. What are the conditions? If you will receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. That means memorize them. If you incline thine ear unto wisdom and thy heart to understand, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her with all as for hid treasures, then, you know, only then. you know, not abracadabra, little brill cream of do-ya devotions, not going through the motions devotions. I mean, we got to really get a hold of God. We aren't born with it. Where do we get it? You know, if you have raised in a Christian home, even not being raised in a Christian home, one thing I didn't want to see, I didn't want to see my dad's eyes when I did wrong. I didn't want to see his eyes. That's about as close as you can get for a little kid to the fear of the Lord. Have to look into the eyes of his father. God gives us parents. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, parents need to make sure that their children, when they do some of the things they do, that they need to go apologize. They need to go to that teacher. They need to go to that class. There's nothing that deals with the fear of the Lord, that gives the fear of the Lord better than having to swallow your pride. Because the fear, the lack of the fear of the Lord is rooted in human pride. And when we sin and we have to go to that teacher and confess that we lied or we cheated on a test, that's the best thing could ever happen to us. Oh man, that's humiliating, isn't it? And so, the fear of the Lord. We need that. The people of God need it. The earth needs it. And the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's right. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When we have the fear of the Lord, we don't do things that we're tempted to do. Because we have the fear of the Lord. It's a great thing. I remember a preacher friend of mine, he said, you know, he said, there's opportunities for me to do wrong, but my mom had put the fear of God in me. And that fear of God lasted him his whole life. It's real. But you know, as we pray tonight, the fear of God needs to come on McQuanago. You know, we were just mentioning another liquor store in McQuanago. There must be an awful appetite for liquor in this town. In this prestigious town, there must be a tremendous appetite for liquor. I mean, somebody is going to start a store to go broke. They've already done the survey. They've already done the work that, man, there's an appetite for liquor in this town. We're going to move there and we're going to make big bucks. Well, that's not a good sign, is it? Our community needs the fear of the Lord. And it needs to start in our hearts, and we need to pray that we have real revival in this town. Real revival in this town. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can be reminded tonight of one of the essential realities of a relationship with you. Lord, we know that knowing you is like a coin. One side says love, and the other side says fear. And they both go together. Those who love you, fear you. Those who truly fear you, love you. That's true Christianity. And Lord, increase our fear of thee. Lord, maybe we be wise enough to go to the Word of God and ask you to work in our hearts. Help it not to we get the fear of the Lord because we get chastened, because we are foolish enough to go our own way. And Lord, anyone that is here tonight that just thinks nothing or little about hell or the penalty of their sin, Lord, oh, in your mercy, show them that you are the living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And certainly to die without Christ and go to hell is a horrible, horrible eternity. Lord, help us to fear you, because it is for our good that we would fear you and obey you. And the blessing of life that comes when moms and dads fear God and children fear God, and the harmony of a home where God is first and loved and feared. Lord, we need it to so be that when people would come, even drive by this church, I know it sounds kind of foolish, but I think it's real, that the very sense of the fear of God might prick their soul to know that you're real and you're still a holy God and a loving God. May it be so. His heads are bowed and eyes closed, and the Lord might be speaking to your heart tonight. And maybe he's speaking to your heart about the very fact that you don't have much fear of the Lord. And you're actually concerned about your soul, that horrible thing would take place in your life, that you would have very little fear of the Lord. That's a bad place to be in. Maybe you're a Christian and you just say, boy, God's speaking my heart. I'm just living so carelessly with little thought of the fear of the God. And in a special way, the Spirit of God has spoken to you. Maybe you're a young person. You've been covering your sin. You need to confess it and forsake it. You might have the blessing of God. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart tonight. I need the fear of the Lord. Maybe the fear of the Lord has come upon you, and you just know that there's a decision you need to make for God tonight. Say, Pastor, pray for me. There's a definite decision I need to make tonight. I sense it in my soul. Okay, I see that hand. Another one. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, amen. Amen. Lord, we commit it to you. Answer, work in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.